Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you cold? I need to know if you're freezing. It is pretty amazing what's going on in our country right now. I know a lot of you within the sound of my voice do live in even warm weather climates where the temperatures are record lows for this time of the year. I actually heard on my way into work that in Atlanta, the real feel, so with the wind chills, in Atlanta, the real feels are in the teens. I'll have to check with my best friend who lives in the area and see whether or not they have coats to wear, because she told me a couple years ago that since they moved to Atlanta, they don't even have coats or keep winter coats, that her boys kind of outgrew them and they never got new ones. Indianapolis, the temperature is 10 degrees, or it was when I was driving into work a little while ago. Certainly there are places all over the country that are buried in snow. So I heard 10 inches in the Buffalo area. I know Michigan and Knoxville and parts of New England, Chicago, lots of places in the upper Midwest getting snow as well. It's a little bit disconcerting, right? It's November 12th. And yet some of you who work in the plowing industry, you're out having to plow overnight. So we are happy to keep you company. If you are part of the Arctic blast, if you're in a deep freeze, I would love to hear from you. It's a good chance for you to interact with us and let us know that you are somehow, somewhere, shivering. Or maybe you're dressed up like the Abominable Snowman. That's me whenever I walk my dog when it gets to be this cold. And oh my goodness, Wednesday morning will be frigid. It's also a full moon, by the way, and it's bright and glorious, at least in my neighborhood. It was hanging high over my house as I was getting into the car to come to work. And so if you can see the full moon and it's clear, that obviously contributes to the temperatures plummeting. So wherever you are, and I had said this on last night's show, that the weather industry, meteorologists collectively are expecting more than 150 cities in the United States to have record low temperatures for this time of year. If you're part of the Arctic blast, you're wearing multiple layers to walk your dog, or you're out plowing, or goodness, you're thinking about facing the weather on Wednesday, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I will not ask you to send me pictures of you shivering, but I will be wearing all kinds of layers. I'll be puffy on Wednesday morning. You could knock me over and I would bounce with the various layers that I will be wearing. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for tuning in. Always good to have you for the Hump Show. A little bit of a frenetic day for me on Tuesday. And then as I went to take a nap before work, somehow I missed my alarm. I remember it initially going off, and it has a snooze. My phone has a snooze button on it, but I snoozed it, and then I lost it because it did not go off again. And so I woke up. Have you ever had that feeling when you wake up and you know you woke up without the alarm, but you have no idea what time it is? And there's this brief moment of, oh my gosh, did I miss work? Anyway, so if you've had that experience in the last week or ever, really, I can empathize with you because it was one of those moments. I'm pretty confident that the Lord woke me up so that I would not miss work. So here I am, and I know that's just going to add to the Hump Show atmosphere. So find us on Twitter and Facebook. Already, a lot of you send me your screen grabs of the temperature either on your phone or on your radio or on your device. So that's awesome. Definitely let us know whether or not you're freezing, because misery loves company. Actually, I love winter. So I shouldn't say that. The only thing that I like better than the cold, and I do really like the cold, it's clear, all the spiders and the bugs die. Yeah. Well, if they don't come inside, the mice seem to find ways to survive. I really love snow. And so when it's cold like this, I want it to be snowing. I know, don't shoot the messenger. It's so pretty. Anyway, so yes, find us on Twitter or Facebook and we'll share those deep freezes that you're going through. It was a hodgepodge of a Tuesday night in sports, which I love. Little bit of college hoops, little bit of NBA, little bit of college football, some news from the NFL, and of course, Major League Baseball. Hockey too. Just a fun night in which you can kind of spread out. And we will spread out and talk about a variety of topics. First, though, getting to what I think is just the perfect script. Sometimes sports gives us cool moments and the script actually goes the way that we might write it up. If we were writing a rom-com, if we were writing a romantic comedy or some perfect movie script in which the underdog ends up with the W, well, Tuesday night would be a great example of a winner.
Sestina looks for inbounds. He throws it into Maxi with 5 seconds. Maxi with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a 3. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shut college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCartney's return to Kentucky.
Love that. In November, absolutely, we're going to get upsets. It happens early in any season of college sports, but this one's kind of fun because there's a tie with the new head coach of Evansville. He is a previous national champ from Kentucky. You may remember him, Walter McCarty. He played in the 90s and was part of that 96 national championship. And now his first year with Evansville, and they go home for him into Lexington, Kentucky, and upset the Wildcats, who were ranked number one. That's likely to change. 67-64. It's a different era for Kentucky basketball, of course. But still, for Walter McCarty, this is part of his training. It's part of his education to be ready for where he is now. And it's kind of neat to get a full circle story like this one.
It felt like us against the world. If we just stick together, anything's possible. Like before the game, we showed them a clip of the pursuit of happiness. When Will Smith says to his son, he's shooting hoops, and he tells him, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't succeed, you know, something like that. So we played that for our guys. You know, no one expected us to come here and play the way we did.
Well, that's true. It's his second season. As I was thinking about it, in his first season, they were 11-21 and they were below 500 in conference play. Also, they have a really cool logo in the Purple Aces. It's kind of fun. But they were picked to finish in the bottom half of their own conference, the Missouri Valley Conference, and to go into Lexington. And if your coach is Walter McCarty, now let's be honest, a lot of the kids on his roster don't have a whole lot of clue what he did in his playing days. Can they watch YouTube videos? Sure. But it's that kind of a deal where you've got a player who's turned into a coach, but he's from a different era. And today's young people, they don't know. When I did radio for Hartford Women's Basketball for 8 years, the head coach was Jennifer Rosati, part of one of the greatest women's college basketball teams of all time. In fact, during her tenure at UConn, she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Would her students have known that if somebody didn't tell them? I mean, they every now and then would make fun of her big ponytail and her huge knee pads and her scrunchies. But to really understand what she accomplished in her time as a player, no, they didn't live through it, so they didn't get it. And with Walter McCarty, it's a similar thing. It's a reminder that we all get older and that you're only cool for a short period of time. You're only on top of the world for a short period of time. And then the planet keeps spinning faster and faster and faster. But really neat for Coach McCarty and for Evansville. And if you're going to get a healthy dose of humble pie, I love talking about that in sports now that Aaron Rodgers made a thing. If you're going to get one, it's good to get it in November like Kentucky did.
Their team deserved to win. If we would have somehow pulled it out, you know, it would have been kind of wouldn't even have been fair because they fought us the whole game. They were the tougher team. They executed. They made shots and threes and free throws. My hat's off to them. It's hard to do that in this building.
One shining moment right now for Evansville. Again, the final score is 67-64 in Lexington. First victory for the program over a number one ranked team. And the Wildcats missed a three at the buzzer, so you heard the call on the Aces radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't that long ago that Trae Young was playing college basketball, and now he's become one of the players to watch, a dynamic scorer in the NBA. And the Atlanta Hawks, they love this young roster they've got, spurred by Young.
Trae dribbles back towards the middle. Now he's going to fire the three, and he makes another one. And another three-pointer by Trae Young, and Denver needs another timeout. Trae dribbling right past Barton, fires from the corner. Bang! Trae Young just looked at the bench of the Denver Nuggets. Hawks lead by a dozen, and another timeout taken by Denver. And a rebound, Trae Young. Trae Young with 6.5 to go. Hawks with a three-point lead in the ball. Here comes Trae. Straight away three. Bang! Trae Young. And Denver needs another timeout. Tremendous. The Hawks lead by 6. He's got 30, folks.
I'm having a lot of fun. I mean, the baskets, my shots are going in right now. Hopefully they continue to happen. I'm just trying to do whatever it takes to help our team win and put our team in the best position to win.
Steve Holman on the Hawks radio network. Trae Young with 42 points in 41 minutes. 8 of 13 from downtown. And he also passes the rock, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. And yeah, with the young lineup that the Hawks have got right now, and Trae Young is certainly the marquee player. This was a season high for him, but I have a feeling that he's going to eclipse that at some point over the course of the season. It's a lot of fun to get in on the ground floor with a young team. The Philadelphia 76ers kind of going through that transition a couple of years ago, though. You know, they've added some veteran pieces. But for Trae Young and company in Atlanta, Jabari Parker is, I mean, even considered one of the older guys, right? Nico Jokic. These are guys that have a little more experience. But for the most part, the starting lineup for the Hawks could average 22 years old if they wanted to. And so while they grow and while they get better, it's fun to watch all the youth and the energy and the enthusiasm. And maybe they don't make the playoffs this year. Though I kind of feel like the Eastern Conference is wide open. But there should be a growth process. There should be this gelling of the lineup and the chemistry. If they grow up together, you could expect some great things. So, you know, if you're looking for an NBA team, you want to be a bandwagon jumper, that's cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of Atlanta, just got a couple of tweets. G says it's showing 25 degrees in Atlanta on his car. It looks like he sent me that. And then Carlos says, well, he sends a screenshot of his phone, 26 degrees in Atlanta, but the real feel is 14. I mean, there are a lot of people in the southern parts of the United States that do not have coats. My mom says it was really cold in Houston as well, and they're setting record lows in various parts of Texas, too. Trae says in northern Ohio, the lake effect snow can be crazy here, laying here back-to-back with the dog. let's see, another tweet, 48 degrees in Jacksonville. Appleton, Wisconsin, that's where Grammy Helen lives. 13 degrees right now, according to Rob. Mike in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He says, I live 1 hour from the Gulf of Mexico. It's 28 degrees here. This is good stuff. I feel as though we can all commiserate. And then our friend Kevin, who listens to the show consistently, sent me a I'm not sure if what this is. Maybe like a weather bug. It's one of those weather bugs with a screen. And it's 22 degrees outside in his part of New England. So, yeah, we're just all shivering together. All right, coming up, a bit of news from the NFL, even as we're in between weeks 10 and 11, plus the latest set of college football playoff rankings. And because it's our hump show, we also want your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So a little bit later on, producer Chris will pick the most creative questions, and I will answer them, presumably without telling embarrassing stories about myself, though. That's the goal, and it never really happens. If you haven't yet voted for Touchdown Tuesday, very tight race between Lamar Jackson's spin move and Rashard Higgins for the Cleveland Browns. And so you want to go and break the tie, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for your tweets, your photos, letting me know where you are and how cold you are right now. Scott is in Toledo, Ohio. Feels like 7 degrees, though the actual temp is a balmy 13. Right now, that's the deal in my neighborhood as well. At my house in New Jersey, it feels like 7. Actually, it dropped a degree as I was tweeting. And so it no longer feels like 8. Now it feels like 7. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And while you're at it, vote for TD of the Week. It's a tight race between two touchdowns from the AFC North over the weekend. Our Facebook page is always available as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So you may or may not have been surprised to hear the news that the NFL is orchestrating or sponsoring, I should say, sponsoring, coordinating, orchestrating a workout for Colin Kaepernick Saturday in Atlanta. Now, Kaepernick last played in the NFL at the end of the 2016 season. Remember, he was still with the San Francisco 49ers, but they did not want to keep him around as they were changing coaches and changing systems. They were going to let him go. He opted out of his contract anyway in the hopes that he would have other offers and get a fresh start somewhere else. And he had a couple of offers. I remember the Denver Broncos specifically offered to bring him in as a quarterback, but wanted him to take a hefty pay cut, and he said no. And since then, there have been the claims of collusion, NFL lawsuit, talk of a settlement, and his reps have more and more indicated that he wants to play football again. And so now the NFL has sent a memo to all 32 teams saying, come watch him work out. It should answer all of your questions. Why now? Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network has the answer to that question.
This all came together in discussions in recent weeks between the NFL and Colin Kaepernick's representatives, who had expressed publicly that Kaepernick wants to play again, and they are frustrated that he's still not employed. League actually reached out this morning to Kaepernick's reps and said, listen, we want to set this up, an on-field workout as well as an interview. Give him the opportunity to show and say that he's ready and willing to play. At that point, Kaepernick's representatives green-lighted the league to send out the memo. It was actually two different memos, one from Commissioner Roger Goodell to chief executives and club presidents, another one from the NFL Player Personnel Department that went out to GMs, head coaches, and personnel directors. This is all going to take place on Saturday at the Atlanta Falcons facility in Flowery Branch, Georgia. It's going to be run by National Football Scouting, which is the same outfit that puts on the Combine. And this will be Combine-like in some ways between the on-field drills as well as the interview. They will get to see Kaepernick do football things and talk about football. For any clubs that don't attend, video will be made available of both the workout and the interview. One last note important to say here, Kaepernick himself has not weighed in yet on his thoughts or what his plans are for Saturday.
Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network giving you a few of the details. So the NFL very much involved in this. And there have been teams inquiring about Kaepernick's desire to play football again. He's 32 years old and, according to reports, has tried to remain in football shape as much as possible. That's obviously not completely possible when you aren't playing. So hasn't been hit, hasn't taken contact, but as much as he possibly can, staying ready. And we know his agents have called around looking for opportunities if they could find an opening. But now with 18 of 32 NFL teams using multiple quarterbacks this season, we're only through week 10. 18 of the 32. The Detroit Lions being the latest. The Bears were already on the list. But with Matthew Stafford missing Sunday's game, the Lions became the 18th team this season to use a second or, in some cases, a third quarterback. Could this be the opening, the opportunity that Kaepernick needs? Could this be his window back into football? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When this news broke earlier, I tweeted about it. Not anything scintillating or controversial, so don't be looking for that on my Twitter. But I did at least ask the rhetorical question. Will this be his entry back into the game? And I saw all of your comments raising various concerns. And I get them all. There's the distraction. It would surely be not just a football story, but it would transcend football, just as the controversy around him not standing for the national anthem became a huge story in both news and sports. This would as well. Would a team want to deal with that? At what price tag? We're through week 10. There are certainly teams out there that are using backup QBs that have very little experience, but at the same time, there are some young QBs that have been a revelation. Would he go to a place where he would be a backup and provide depth as opposed to stepping into a starting rotation? A starting rotation. You get it. I'm crossing my sports. But would be willing to accept less money to be in a place where he might not see the field just to get back on a roster? Does he want to play football again? That was one of the first tweets I got in response. I don't think he wants to play football. Well, what, you think the NFL is staging a workout just because they want to look good? No, I mean, if Colin Kaepernick didn't want to play football, his agents wouldn't be calling around. His agents wouldn't be looking for work. All of those questions are likely to be posed to Kaepernick when he sits down with potential scouts, teams, employers, etc. on Saturday. I don't know if they're going to allow the video to be made public, though I can imagine it might get leaked. But the idea is not just for him to work out and throw the football. It's also for him to answer their questions. Maybe the question becomes, do you plan on kneeling for the national anthem? Michael Bennett got traded to the Dallas Cowboys at the deadline, the defensive end, who was with the Patriots. He had been staying in the locker room during the anthem, which is now the prerogative of players. That was the minor tweak to the rule at the beginning of last year. But he's standing now with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones has been really vocal about how no player on his roster will ever not stand for the national anthem. He's essentially made that a condition of employment, and that's his prerogative. He's the owner of the team. He writes the checks. But Bennett says that's not why he's standing now. He said his teammates, his new teammates on the Cowboys, asked him to stand, asked him to be out there on the sidelines for the national anthem and stand with them. And so he is, which I think is neat. I have no idea what Kaepernick will do if he gets back into the NFL. And I don't know if there's a team out there that's willing to give him some money to come in for the last third of the season. I guess it's not quite half, a little more than a third. But there's also the question of how long he's been out of football. We're talking about now a third season since he's played. That's a long stretch at any position for any athlete, regardless of sport. But the fact is, the NFL is facilitating. I have no doubt teams will attend, if for nothing other than curiosity. And also, I would say this too. I'm not suggesting that Colin Kaepernick needs to change what he's passionate about, but that sometimes having what we love taken away from us can maybe change our methods or our approach. As much as his choices were made to bring awareness to social injustice, to try to raise awareness about I don't want to get into it because that's not why I'm bringing it up. But he had reasons for kneeling. He felt like the inequities in law enforcement needed to be highlighted. And also wanting to feel like he was doing his part to raise awareness for social injustice. And for Kaepernick, there have been some tweets, some comments, some interviews that have been abrasive and that have been, I think, offensive to owners in the NFL, not to mention law enforcement and fans. But when you're away from the game, and in this case, the game that you love, but I could use my industry as an example. If I was out of work for 3 years, desperately wanted to get back into it, my approach, my attitude, my methods might change. I'd sure as heck be willing to take a lot less money just for an opportunity if I had been out of the business for 3 years. So maybe teams are more willing to hear him out. Maybe his approach, his actions, his choices will be different. I don't know the answers to any of these questions. Someone wrote to me and asked me, is he going to apologize for wearing socks that depicted police officers as pigs? I don't know that. I don't know if there are things he would take back. But I sure as heck know, by him making himself available to answer questions from teams, it signals a willingness to have the conversation. And trust me when I say NFL teams and NFL team reps will ask those hard questions. We know they're always willing to ask intimate, invasive questions at the combine. So believe you me, they will ask those same types of questions, probing questions of Colin Kaepernick on Saturday, should they get the chance, which it sounds like they will. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So what I want from you, your best cheer, your best way to demonstrate spirit for your team. Because we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. But what about you? First up,
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Fly, Eagles fly on the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Michael is listening in Atlanta.
The Atlanta Falcons.
It's a dirty thing. Move them chains. It's a first down.
Fly high, Falcons, straight down the field.
Do you guys bring the spirit, the energy, the enthusiasm? Your chance to be a superstar.
The Washington Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
Fight, fight, fight. Woo!
It's all about the spirit
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I know so many of you would like to know what happens behind the scenes here at CBS Sports Radio. And, well, here's what's happening right now. I'll just give you a peek behind the curtain without an actual photo. I'm currently, trying to pick up all of the popcorn kernels and unpopped kernels that are all over the studio. Why? Because I'm eating popcorn for dinner. Oh, I know. Don't ask. And when I open up the bag, boom, it exploded. Got a little bit eager in my ripping open of the bag, and popcorn went everywhere. And yes, I did eat a piece off the floor before I realized that probably I shouldn't do that. But I did eat one, 5-second rule. Anyway, so yes, it's glamorous back here in the CBS Sports Radio studios behind the double-paned glass. I know you wish you were here. How cold are you? And where are you? We are commiserating in the midst of this Arctic blast. A lot of you sending me screenshots of your frigid temps. Also sending me your photos of the cold on your devices. My mom has one of those indoor-outdoor temperature gauges, and it sits right in the kitchen so she can check it out. So I'll go through some of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Like Jordan, who says it's 14 with a real feel of 7 in Pittsburgh. Oh, I feel you, man. I'm in the same exact boat in my neighborhood. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. According to Donald, it's 37 in Caldwell, Idaho, which actually feels kind of balmy. Let's talk to Brad, who's in Modesto, California. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, it's 50 degrees here. I'm still wearing a jacket. Once it drops below 75, you know.
You have thin skin.
You know, we get cold. But, no, I think there's three really good possibilities for Cap to land at. And I think Tennessee would be the best spot for him to land as a starter. These are all places I think as a starter.
To clarify, Brad. So right now, after Ryan Tannehill took over as the starter, and he's got a 71% completion rate. He's got 8 touchdowns versus 4 interceptions. The team is back to .500. You would, if you're the Titans, bring in Colin Kaepernick and instantly make him the starter?
I mean, possibly, depending on how the rest of the year pans out. I just mean, they're not paying Cap a lot. Tannehill, they're obviously moving on from Mariota. But as far as being a starter, if Tannehill just keeps going, then yeah, they're probably going to go with Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill's, a couple years younger than Kaepernick. But the other team would be Tampa Bay. I think they're ready to win right now. They could do good with Kaepernick. And then the only other team I see paying him to be a starter would be Cincinnati. Do you see any other teams, or am I missing something?
I don't agree with you on Tennessee, not this year. So if we're talking about right now, I just don't think that's and I'm not saying it's because of Kaepernick's skills or whatever he can do on the football field, but at this point, Ryan Tannehill's been in the system since they traded for him in March. I believe they traded for him right around the draft or right before the NFL draft. Somewhere in the spring, and they've already made one change at quarterback. You have to think about the logistics of bringing in someone who's new and expecting him to pick up the system that quickly enough that it would even make a difference to make another switch. They've already done it once. It obviously affects everything. The offensive line, it affects the receivers, it affects the entire team when you make a change like that at the most impactful position on the field. Now, as a backup, I could see that there are places where teams would bring him in to shore up depth. But in Cincinnati, they just went to their rookie, Ryan Finley. So it's clear that Zach Taylor wants to see what he has with Ryan Finley, which is why he benched Andy Dalton. And in Tampa Bay, they're not going to make a change this year. Bruce Arians has been very clear that Jameis Winston is his guy, and he's trying to make some progress with him. But I could see those as potentials for next year. I just don't see a situation this season where a team brings him in other than a backup and says, okay, man, the offense is yours, go. It's not that simple.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, all this considered as being a starter next year. And the reason I picked those teams is because you look at, I know a lot of people would say, Miami, but I don't think that Cap would be down with a backup role permanently, nor in some kind of a resurgent type of team. And everywhere else you look, you got people like Kyler Murray already, you got Sam Darnold.
Right. There are a lot of young Daniel Jones. There are a lot of young quarterbacks who've already established themselves or who the teams are at least committed to. But I don't think that's fair, Brad, to say that he wouldn't accept a backup role. How do we know that? Just because he wouldn't 3 years ago doesn't mean he wouldn't now. Again, time changes people and their goals. And sometimes what you want is just a foot to get back into your industry or just an opportunity to prove what you can do. And certainly as a backup quarterback, you could do that. I'm going to let you go so I can squeeze in one more call before the top of the hour. Thanks so much for listening in Modesto. Maverick is listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours. You have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm watching the last 31 seconds in Lambeau, and snow is coming down, so I'm figuring that was about 20 degrees. I'm out here at the Annapolis area, Naval Academy area. That's Bill Belichick country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 23 degrees here, but I just took my brother to the airport. He's in Miami today, he said. It's 87, just to let you know.
Whatever. Somebody's got to be
right
different.
Here where Miami Heat was playing today, he said, it's 87 degrees.
Boring.
Got a couple of things. Do you read the New York Post?
No.
Well, guess what? They gave out Evansville plus the 25 today on the Vissen. That's the one that Brent Musburger owns. They said to take the Purple Eaters over Kentucky today. I also have breaking news for you.
Okay, you have a minute to go.
All right, Rob Gronkowski is coming back week 13 per source through some family members that are close to Rob. I was just noted, I just saw it about maybe an hour before you came on air.
You saw it? You saw it where?
Oh, no, I got a message. I've worked with the Patriots for two or three Super Bowls now, 2 years. Two Super Bowls I've worked with them. Per source, through some family members close to Gronk, he is coming back week 13 against the Texans.
Mm. So this is not coming from the New England Patriots.
This is not something that the media will get a hold of. This is something on the inside. Just to let you know.
Just to clarify, you're saying your source is not the team. Your source is Gronk, people around Gronk.
Sources for family.
Got it.
People that know him well.
All right. Well, he has until November 30th, and certainly Bob
Kraft.
I know.
He has not signed the papers, and he's got to the 30th. So
yeah.
That is the latest scoop. It's week 13 against the Texans. That's a Sunday night game.
All right, sir. Thanks so much for your phone call. Sorry, we're at the top of the hour, so I have to let you go. But Maverick in Maryland, you heard it here first. He says, per sources inside Gronk's circle, Rob Gronkowski will be returning for the New England Patriots by week 13. The deadline is November 30th, and Bob Kraft is definitely holding out hope that Gronk returns, although Tom Brady said he stopped asking. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.